Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, I'm going to just dive right in. The one announcement I can think of is next Sunday is Christmas Day, and we will be having Christmas service from 10 to 11, and communion, and of course, worship, and a short message. Bob will be doing a short message, so we just encourage you to come, and we'll fellowship together on that day. Okay, let me pray. Father, just thank you for your heart. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would just bless your word today. Lord, that you would just interact with us throughout this whole service. In Jesus' name, amen. About 2.5 weeks ago, I had this moment with God where he just kind of flooded in on me. I wasn't asking him anything specific. And I was outside, and all of a sudden he flooded in on me. And he said that he's called this ministry to be a greenhouse effect ministry. And it was really strong. It was one of those words when God speaks something and it does something in your soul. It's almost like, supernatural peace came over me. And I was just kind of contemplating that reality. What is greenhouse effect? Now, greenhouse ministry, from what I've heard about other ministries, is like YWAM, Youth with a Mission, is a greenhouse ministry where people come and have a focused 2 or 3 months in the Word of God and worship, and their days are structured around receiving from God, and then they go out for 2 months and do outreach somewhere overseas or on the mission field. And that's not exactly what God was saying here. That's what I thought he was saying, but he said, I want you to look up greenhouse effect. And so I did. And the greenhouse effect in our atmosphere is both positive and negative. The sun shines in, and then the atmosphere traps the sun and the light in the atmosphere, and it also traps what they call the bad gases and all that kind of stuff. So it's both positive and negative. But a greenhouse effect with an actual greenhouse is the sun shines through the glass of the greenhouse or whatever material that is, and then it traps the light in the greenhouse. And so I was going back and forth, and I was really researching this, and that what God was saying about this particular ministry doesn't make it make us any better or worse or anything else than anybody else out there at all. And I want you to, hear that very clearly. He just simply said that this is a greenhouse effect ministry, meaning that when he called this particular ministry, he wanted it to carry abiding truths of his kingdom, meaning that when he shines light, sometimes, the seasons or the truth or that he shares or that he puts in our midst, so to speak, is trapped in here, but it's by his hand, his decision. So, my sense was that there's sometimes for, half a year, he'll highlight specific attributes of his kingdom, and then he'll trap it in here, and it'll abide and stay. And so I begin to contemplate that. What does that mean? An abiding truth ministry. One of the abiding truths that I see from the beginning when I came here, this ministry was going before, I was around, of course, and many of us. But one of the abiding truths is mind renewal. One of the abiding truths is the house of prayer reality. One of the abiding truth and all that carries in it. But it's one of those things that it's just kind of there. And so your particular interaction with that truth can be both positive and negative is the idea. Meaning that when I was really praying through this, what God was saying is this is a very difficult ministry for you to be complacent or lukewarm in, if that makes sense. Meaning truth is an agitation. True truth will agitate you. And if it's a so-called abiding, we can't measure that or anything like that, but truth will agitate you. meaning that if you surrender to God and you start letting him touch you and work things out in your life, and your interaction with truth is yes, Jesus, and you're submitting to him, he's going to focus on eliminating your pride, eliminating, you know, all those kind of things that prevent truth from taking root. So it's going to agitate some people. And then, and on the other hand, some people don't like different aspects of what truth actually means in the grace of God. And that doesn't mean if people are called and leave or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that if you people resist truth, the only place you go when you resist truth, this is for any of us, whether this ministry or a different church or anything like that, you resist truth, a coldness or a dullness begins to come over you. And that's where the enemy comes in and tries to attack that reality. And that often shows up with a spirit of criticism, accusation, and so on and so forth. And so I was just contemplating that. This is just kind of like one of those big picture things. I mean, there's many ministries that are called this way, okay? But this, he wanted to highlight in this season why this ministry is called that way. And I begin to just process that. And so as I continued further with that, Jesus said something when he stood up in the synagogue one day, and he quoted Isaiah 61. And Laura, this is what I'm going to focus on is Isaiah 61. But he said something very specific when he was on earth. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." And then he stopped there. But Isaiah 61 has a lot more added to that. And Jesus is going to actually fulfill this. And so part of the reality of an abiding truth type of ministry is that you're being asked to walk in something which is the essence of it is what we would call faithfulness, meaning that the faithfulness is something that you have to choose, and often it's resisted greatly by the enemy. And Jesus always is going to focus us back to the mandate of the kingdom of God according to his perspective, according to the word of God. And I felt like God was saying to us in this season, we have to motivate ourselves not by cultural temptation, but by the word of God or the mandate of the word of God and the kingdom of God. When we pray that prayer, "Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," God is taking that very seriously. He wants us to understand what his truth actually is that we're holding on to or walking out in our lives or flowing through our spirit. And the enemy's always standing by to pollute our passions with the temptation of humanity. Now, the temptation of humanity, very simply, is fame, glory, your own glory, money or the love of money, and so on and so forth, personal comfort. You can add in a couple other things in our culture, but the very specific mandate of the kingdom of God is Isaiah 61. Jesus said, "The Spirit of my Father is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." Now, what that means is real poor people, of course, but it actually means those that are poor in spirit, meaning that they haven't encountered God. So Jesus' mandate is to preach the good news to those that are poor in spirit. Then he says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." This is a massive reality that can get very polluted real quick because the enemy hates and despises this component. The anointing for Isaiah 61 is to produce the mandate of letting his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's to produce that mandate and to live it out. And so I kept feeling like God said, "Son," you know, he's saying this to me, but I believe he's saying this to the body of Christ, "You have to motivate yourself in this season by my kingdom of God mandate And no other human temptation, whether it's acceptance or rejection or anything like that, you have to focus your life passion in prayer, in relationship to Him, to live out this kingdom mandate before God, before His Father, because this is what He's focused on. And the enemy is going to tempt you consistently to confuse it for you. So the reality is, the Father God is absolutely relational. He wants relationship with every person in here. It doesn't matter if you're smart, if you're dumb, or, you know, if you're rich or poor, if you're a human being, He has such a longing to have fellowship with you. And the idea of Jesus actually being sent, the gift of an apostle is called a sent one. That's what an apostolic calling is an sent one. One that's sent. Jesus was actually sent, and He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He wasn't sent initially to establish His kingdom or the structure of it or so on and so forth. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. And you can add in every gift of the Holy Spirit that flows through the body of Christ to fulfill this mission and mandate. And of course, this is part of the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations. Well, a true disciple is a personal reality. It's a true disciple of someone that starts fellowshipping with Father God. That's what Jesus is all about. He's all about our connection with God. To proclaim liberty to the captives, it's about freedom. What Bob was proclaiming, we're in a season where God is proclaiming freedom, and He wants us to walk in those freedom. Now listen, He stopped there, but in the end time season of the body of Christ, remember, we're His body, meaning Jesus is going to fulfill the mandate of Isaiah 61 all the way through to the end. And this is what it says. He stopped here because His first 3.5 years on this earth, He stopped with that reality. He didn't focus on the greater reality of what His kingdom is going to do, especially at the end of the age. But He said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord in verse 2, and the day of the vengeance of our God. This is the end time outpouring of wrath, the bowls of wrath at the end of Revelation. He's saying that the body of Christ in the fullness of His kingdom is going to be proclaiming the end of the age reality and the justice of God and who He is as a lion and a lamb, or who He is as a bridegroom, king, and judge at the end of the age. Those are all essential characteristics of who Jesus is. And so in this season right now, He's going to begin to raise up the body of Christ and establish His kingdom mandate. And so, here's to heal the brokenhearted. In verse 3, it says to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now listen, this is what He's after, okay? If you're going to motivate yourself with the kingdom of God mandate manifesting in the body of Christ right now, He is after that they might be called trees of righteousness. He is not after your numbers, your comfort. He's not after whether people like you or don't like you. He's not after that. He's after flowing through you so that people are established as trees of righteousness. And then look what it says. The planting of the Lord. He's the one that's planting it, that He may be glorified. Now here's the reality. Here's where the temptation enters in. People start walking in what they believe God's called them to walk in. They start... Often, this is what happens in the body of Christ. And the reason I'm highlighting this, and I'm going to highlight it heavy if you don't mind, but the reason I'm doing that today is because the temptation is going to uptick right now in this season, because the enemy is releasing a profound resistance to the body of Christ. What Bob picked up, what he proclaimed and prophesied, is so essential right now to understanding what God is doing, because the temptation is going to come from many different angles. Some of it is going to be the complacent, lukewarm stuff that we're already fighting and fighting through, but some of it is going to be direct rejection and attack against what God has called you to walk in faithfulness in. And the temptation comes often for people as they start well, and then they start focusing on the productivity of what they're called to do instead of focusing on healing the brokenhearted. Meaning there's many ministers that start well, and then they put all their strength and passion into money, numbers, and acceptance, and making sure people like them, and so on and so forth. And it's a confusing reality because their passion has shifted ever so slightly. Now, there's some people that are called to do those things and do them well, to raise money, to God wants to give numbers and so on and so forth, but the very essential calling is healing the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom, to establish people as trees of righteousness so that he is glorified, so that he can say, I planted them. Do you see what I'm saying? The temptation is to put all your focus on how do I accomplish this mission for my life, and Jesus says, your life is to be poured out for me. And that's what the enemy's trying to do in this season, is to confuse your identity. There's so many people that feel like they're withering away because they it doesn't seem like anybody's paying attention to them, or you know, they can't get the money flowing, or they can't do that. And Jesus is simply whispering in their ear, focus on my mandate. Focus on being faithful in the job site. Focus on grooming yourself in the word privately. Focus on being with me, and I will help you through your life to begin to plant, heal the brokenhearted and plant trees of righteousness. Psalm 147:3 says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Matthew 11:28, 30, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice Jesus says to engage this peaceful transition with him, he says you have to take my yoke upon you. Now that yoke, I've said this before, but it's like two oxen that are yoked together. You have to bow down and get under the yoke, and then you have to walk in his ways with that yoke. And if we are struggling with pride or we have things that God needs to get out of us, it's going to be very painful for a season. But then his yoke becomes easy because you've become obedient to him. That's the idea. Then he says, my yoke is easy. A lot of people say, this is not an easy yoke. It's because what they're actually saying inside, I want to do things my way. I really do. I want to fulfill the prophetic call in my life, but I want everybody to notice it. I want to do this, but I want to have money that flows into this. And God says, you want to walk and hold on to that abiding truth that I've poured out, for example, real specifically into this ministry, a house of prayer lifestyle, or the mind renewal, or a prophetic reality. You can add in other things. You want to walk this out. You are going to be significantly resisted by the enemy, because he does not want saints to come out on the other side of that where they carry his glory and they have no focus about their own lives, to walk it out. So some of that training is when nobody's looking and when it's hard and when people are actually rejecting you. But that's producing faithfulness in you so you can steward what God wants to do in the days ahead. 1 John 3:8, this is a very important foundational theological reality that we have to pay attention to. It says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And then it says this, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, I want you to think that through a little bit. Why was Jesus manifested? A lot of us would have different concepts about that, but his manifestation was to destroy the works of the devil. That is a very significant reality. You have to keep that in mind when you settle in to any type of theology that you have, that Jesus wants to destroy the works of the devil. One of the realities and avenues he does that, of course, is healing the brokenhearted. Because the devil often has messed with people. Now, there is a godly brokenness. You know that yoke? When you resist and resist and resist and resist, and then he finally breaks you, that's a godly brokenness because he's getting rid of pride in your life. You see what I'm saying? But we have to be careful that we focus on the reason Jesus was manifested is to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy what the enemy has done, to his deception and those kind of things. John Newton made this point. My grand point in preaching is to break the hard heart and to heal the broken one. That is exactly the mandate of the kingdom of God. That means that whatever he's called you to, whatever it looks like, if he just simply says, you know, you feel aimless or you have no direction or you feel like I don't know exactly what I'm called to in this season, I guarantee you what he's called you to is to groom yourself in the word of God, even if you don't have all these answers out here. What he's asking you to do is become faithful to him privately. Because the greatest test is when glory does come into the body of Christ. If you are not good by being faithful when people reject you or don't honor you or come against you, and you're not good then, you're going to be worse when you have glory. But that's how God does his training. He says, don't despise the small beginnings. And some people say, well, this has been too long. You guys just say stuff like that and on and on and on. Don't forget the accuser of the brethren. He is going to constantly be against you no matter what you're doing. Whatever your mandate is in the kingdom of God, whatever truth that you're holding on to, if somebody else holds on to it or not, you're holding on to it because you want to walk out this mandate that God's given you. And you just want to be found faithful, no matter what type of agitation or rejection or lying or anything people do, or not helping you enough or whatever it is. It's this idea that Jesus is enough and he is training the body of Christ right now. And it is important that we ask what Bob has been praying and crying out. We have to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit in this season because he's getting ready to move in a very unique way. And the enemy is trying everything in his power right now to destroy the body of Christ, to get you to lose focus, to get you to ruin relationships, to get you to cause disunity, to get you to, in our families or whatever it is. But we have to understand that Jesus never changes. His message is the same in what he's calling us to. And so this mandate of healing the brokenhearted, It when you begin to motivate yourself with that, it means that it doesn't. It's back to the same old thing. But this is really important. Whether one person's in the room or 10, whether you have influence over 2 or 5 or 10, the idea of healing the brokenhearted is God is moving through you to establish people in trees of righteousness. And everybody has unique callings and different ways to do that. Some people are called this way and that way, whatever it is. But the idea is being faithful in that calling. When I was counseling, I first started my counseling career way back late 90s, early 2000s. And I started meeting with people. And all I was focused on during that time was making sure I did a good job. Does that make sense? You know, I was thrown right into a secular setting and with very little experience, and God saw fit to just dunk me in there, and I had to go for it. So, you know, I still remember my first 3 sessions, you know. These people came in and thought I was an expert, and I was really green. You know, I didn't really know what I was doing. But I, you know, one of the guys was a fireman, and he followed me for 13 years. Everywhere I went, he would come in and have sessions. He thought I was an expert. But I felt like, not at all like I was green, but I followed the Holy Spirit. And when I started to get into week after week after week of being with people and seeing what's going on behind the scenes, having my total naive reality of a Canadian farm boy completely shattered of what was going on out there, even in the body of Christ, you know, and things. And then, starting to sniff out demons in a secular setting and starting to see manifestations and people talking in evil voices and you know, the one lady whose chair suddenly just went straight back to the back wall and she's pinned up against it. And, you know, I was so green, I had no idea what was going on. I started to see the reality of the kingdom of God and the battlefield of the mind and of the soul. And Christians that are totally looking great out here coming into church And behind the scenes, they're just, they are so broken and need help. Trust me, God is beginning to move in this reality. That's why he's focusing this. He is going to heal the brokenhearted. This move of God is supposed to enrich the body of Christ until we're without spot or wrinkle. This is an end time move strategy where the great wisdom of the Father is going to begin to unfold. And if you, again, not focused on this mandate for your life personally, you will be swept away in the temptation of our culture and other things in humanity. This is so important to God. I remember one young man, when I started realizing God's heart out there, okay? So I started moving beyond just doing a good job to watching what God was doing. And then I was getting prayed up because of all these demonic reactions and people threatening suicide and so on and so forth. And I had a couple encounters with men where I felt sick in the morning. And I kept feeling, oh, I gotta go in. I remember one day, I had like all morning, and then I had 3 hours, and I had a 5 o'clock, which is my last session of the day, and I was ill, and I kept feeling God say, you need to stick it out, and I'm like, what in the world? I mean, it took everything in me, and after I did those sessions in the morning, I laid down, and I actually was laying on a hard floor in my office thinking, I'm just going to cancel the 5, and God kept saying, you can't. And so I was like, I was trying to pray through. I mean, if I would know what I know now, it would be much different in handling that. You know what I mean? But I just, you know, I got there. I was not motivated. 5 o'clock rolls around, and this man walked in. I'll never forget him. He said he'd been off of alcohol for 30-some years. But he really defined himself as, you know, once alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And I was starting to work with him saying, man, dude, you are changed because of what Jesus has done for you. But he was still working through all these emotional stuff, but he hadn't been drinking. But he was suicidal. So he came in with a hat over his eyes, and he just kind of just slammed down on his chair. And the first thing he said to me, he said, I've had a gun in my mouth today. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to hold off. I'm going to come to this session at 5 o'clock today. And then if it doesn't work, then I'll kill myself. That's what he said to me. You know, I'm like, that woke me right up. I mean, this is what we're talking about going on out there. We're talking about people that know of God. We're talking about people, 90% of the people that I worked with were churched in our churches, denominational churches in this area. Every intake, but they were so suffering. And after that session, nothing totally dramatic happened. I was open for this massive breakthrough, but my care and working with him, that man came in the next week and he was fine. And the week after that, he was fine. And I begin to understand God's compassion. I could have just as easily said, I am ill, I'm not doing this thing. And I don't know what would have happened to him. I started realizing the sober reality of the battlefield out there in people's lives. And shame on me if I don't try to encourage people to focus on his mandate from the Word of God, Isaiah 61, to motivate themselves in that so they're not tempted to go into other things to motivate them and confuse the reality of what God wants to do. I'll end with this. Michael, you can come on up. I had this this man, he was in his 40s. I was in my late 20s when I saw him. And he came in because he got caught smoking a drug. And he was through as an assistance employee program with one of the factories in the area. He had to come in and go through counseling so he could keep his job. And so I, you know, that was normal. So I kind of started going with him and I found out that his family had totally rejected him, a man in his 40s. His wife had left him a long time ago. I just remember he was a skinny guy. And it didn't look like he was eating very much. He didn't look healthy, you know, kind of a thing. And I remember him telling me about his two little kids and that they were all he had. And so if he would smoke this stuff, he would lose his job, and then he wouldn't be able, he would lose his two little kids, is kind of how it was all going down. So, you know, I've heard that, all that before, but two or three sessions later, I just begin to have this compassion for him, and I knew it wasn't my compassion. It was God's compassion. And I was working hard with him because I did not want him to make a mistake and lose his job. And then we made this deal. He just said, you know, he kind of said, you know, I kind of trust you. And we made this thing to bring his kids in with him one session. And so he brought these two little, tiny, skinny, barely dressed kids into the office. And I remember just feeling this intensity for this guy. And the next morning, you know, I eventually, in one session, got him to say, hey, man, you need Jesus. He allowed me to talk that way. And he was just one of those guys that said, yeah, I know, but I'm just not ready. There was people that would always say that. And but anyway, after he brought his kids in, and or when he rejected Jesus in that moment, I remember waking up the next morning, and I came out of sleep, and I remember just having this, the presence of God come over me, and I begin to sob, these heart-wrenching gut cries. Like, I'm a crier in the presence of God, but I'm not normally a crier out of pain. You know, I've not been that way. You know, it could be because I'm all blocked up or something, but I'm just not that way. I'm real emotional around the presence of God, but I had this hollering, gut-wrenching cry. And the only thing I can remember is this man's face before me. And I'm laying in bed. I can't even move. And it went on for 20 minutes. And my wife came out asleep, and she's going, what is wrong? What is wrong? I said, it's not you. I was trying to talk, and it's just this guttural moan came out of me. You know, when the Holy Spirit says that he'll intercede for you through groanings and stuff like that. Well, that was obviously happening. Because this was not me. This was God. This man, no one would notice who he is. But God noticed him and took this, you know, guy that was learning, trying to learn a professional type of craft. And I am just moaning for him in the grace of God. And then finally, when it lifted, I went in and I think I had another session with him in a couple days. And I went in and I told him that what had happened. You know, I told him. And he's like, weird. You know, he's just like, he didn't get it. But I told him, I said, it's not me, it's God. He's after you. And he listened, but he never made any decisions with me. But the idea of him carrying that with him wherever he goes, wherever he is now, I don't know where he is. I'd like to be able to find the guy. But I had encounters like that. And the idea is that God wants to heal the brokenhearted. If you're sitting with one person and you're peacemaking or you're laboring or you're trying to disciple and there's resistance and there's agitation, or if you're coming to the prayer room and you have a two-hour set and you're praying for people, it's all about this to God. He wants to establish people in as trees of righteousness so that he gets the glory. Whatever labor you're doing, no matter what it is, even if it's just being faithful in the workplace or just simply stewarding yourself and changing on the home front or you know, doing relationship better or whatever it is, God has a divine agenda for that, and it's powerful. Father, we just thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your mandate. The reason the anointing is released into the body of Christ is to make disciples, to make lovers, so that people can walk in the freedom that Jesus has already bought and paid for. Lord, we ask that the inheritance of your Son would become a reality in this group of people here. Lord, I ask for this ministry that you would release the fire of God so that we can heal the brokenhearted, that we can establish people in righteousness, that we can pray in the very kingdom of God into this area, that Jesus would become the ruler of Michiana. Lord, I just want to stand in the authority that you've given us and directly address the resistance of the enemy and the fear and the things that are coming against your people. We take authority over it as a family, and we say, go out of here in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we release the fire and presence of God in here. Lord, we pray that you would heal the brokenhearted. Lord, Holy Spirit, even now you would surprise your people. Lord, I pray that you would touch bodies in this place, that you'd release physical healing now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. Lord, I ask you for just a divine faithfulness to begin to spring up out of this house. Lord, that we would be stable men and women in the grace of God, both on the anointing and on resistance, no matter what it is. We declare faithfulness over this body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would loose angels to just begin to go out. I declare that encounters would happen to the body of Christ, that the gifts of God would be released so the brokenhearted is healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, would you ruin our hearts with that Father God compassion for the lost? Abba, Father, that you would release your heart into our midst so that we would begin to motivate ourselves by what you're feeling, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for every person here. Lord, as they go today, I pray that you would anoint them, that you would heal them, that you would talk to them, that you would establish them. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you. I feel like God, you know, I have to get this out real quick. I feel like God just said, ask of me. Talk to me. I feel like he's going to give power for victory. He's going to give creative ideas. He's going to give just power, the anointing. I'm with you, Bob. He wants us to cry out for fire so that we can carry out his mission. In Jesus' name, amen.